I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Hello, friends. This is Stacking Pennies. We're going to cover all things Clash. I didn't have to take a picture on the seventh row eating a hot dog with my shirt off. I was more nervous about that than actually missing the show. But by God, we got her in the show. That Celsius Camaro was pretty decent. There was another couple cars that were decent. Obviously, Denny Hamlin takes the dub on that Saturday night. And there was some beef. We're going to break down all of that stuff right here today on Stacking Pennies.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking pennies.
Well, well, well. Welcome. Welcome to Nonsense Garage. Here we are.
Well, well, welcome.
That's the intro. Here we are, guys. I'm driver, Court of the Joy, the number 7 Celsius Camaro this past week. Starter in the third annual Busch Light Clash.
I was happy to see that.
No, you weren't.
I was.
No, you weren't.
I was sad that you didn't have to take the picture, but I wanted you to make the race.
I don't know.
Like, I'm not a terrible friend.
I think you'd have been happy.
But if you missed the race, like, I would have enjoyed the picture, but I more so rather you.
We were 26 in practice. I'm like, I got to take this damn picture. But I pulled the belts tight. We got her in the show, by God. Let's not jump ahead too much because there's a lot of stuff happened this week. Obviously, everybody's gearing up, ready to go. And the season just kind of slaps you in the face. You're kind of on the off season, this and that. You know it's coming, and then bam, we're getting on the bird and we're flying to Los Angeles to go racing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's how it goes. You feel like it's all hurry up, or it's just all, it's, you know, you're waiting, then go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I mean, that's racing in a nutshell, though. It's hours of boredom followed by moments of pandemonium.
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of pandemonium here on Saturday night because actually the pandemonium started Saturday morning.
Did they even let you in?
Yeah, they let me in.
With that hard card picture, they let you in the track?
What are you talking about? This hard card, I feel like it should get me into anywhere I want to go.
I don't know.
What do you mean? So I put it on my Instagram story. There, when you apply for your license, it says in bold. So you submit your headshot, right? And it says in bold letters, no hat, nothing cover your face, no sunglasses. And I was just flipping through my camera roll. I'm like, let's see if this passes the bar.
It's not a hat.
It's not a hat.
I wonder who approves that. Like, we got to get him on the show to talk about it. If it slipped through the cracks or if somebody saw it,
I got a text today from somebody in NASCAR. Hey, I love your hard card picture, but it's not going to fly. We're going to send you another one. Submit a normal headshot. But who's to say that I can't use this one all year
long? Yeah, no, yeah.
I feel like this is the intimidator. The imitator, if you will. Some fella over at Spire, he's got a little paint shop. He printed up the decals, got the same helmet, and printed up a Dale Earnhardt helmet. And this was during the Christmas party. He just wanted me to take a picture wearing it. So I said, I got what I got. And then it passed it. So this
is
what
I got. Try to use it for your driver's license. Every photo ID you have,
sir,
passport.
License registration.
If you do, what country's not going to let you in if you show up with that on your passport? Please enter. Come on in.
Stamp.
Yep. Stay as long as you want.
Come on in.
I love it.
I love that. So that one was the first win of the week.
There's a couple good ones. I think I've seen a couple good ones because you used to always have to kind of go through the team to do it, but
right.
Now you do it yourself. So yeah, there's a couple good ones. But so you get to the track. We had some
Saturday morning
dialogue about how cool the NASCAR Mexico cars were.
Oh my goodness, I'll get into that in a minute because I made a new best friend.
And then, okay, so tell me about your day leading up to when you get the news that we're gonna be.
Well, I'm sitting there in the morning, right? reading the news, and on Fox News. It says record-breaking rain coming for Los Angeles. 6 months worth of rain in 3 days. We know it's coming. Everybody knows it's coming on Saturday night, 9 o'clock, and all day Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah.
So we get there and people are talking. I mean, they're rushing around the rain tires and they're doing this.
But so they had rain tires.
They had rain tires there, but they didn't have, the cars weren't equipped. So they didn't have a windshield wiper nor the mud flaps or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So we knew that it was going to be a bit of a disaster. I'm sure that they don't build something in Los Angeles capable of trying to keep up with that amount of rain, right? To drain and do all that stuff.
There's only one thing that could keep up with the amount of rain that was coming, and it's our roof.
Yeah.
They didn't have time to put it over top of the Coliseum.
Right. Well, we raised boats. So get there Saturday, and there's some murmurs, right? They're talking about moving it. They're talking about moving it up. They're talking about doing this, doing that. And Sparks came up to me and goes, I don't know what your pre-race routine is, buddy, but you better do it now because we're racing tonight.
Because they had a crew chief meeting. They told all the crew chiefs, from what I understand, right?
Yeah, they told those guys first.
What time is that?
So garage opened at 9, did the track walk, did the Mexican, watched Mexican practice, Mexican series practice, and then it was right after that. So call it noon.
So then you go to practice at what time? What time West Coast?
It's going to be 3 o'clock. So they bumped it up at half hour.
So 2:30.
Yep. So then you knew, all right, we're scrapping LCQ and the heat races.
Yeah.
Fastest 22, boys.
Dude, it was great. I love it.
It was great. It was a lot of pressure, but you felt the pressure, but it was so quick, and it was so quick to turn around. You had to be precise with your feedback. You only got so much amount of track time to where every adjustment you wanted to make, it better be right.
Talk to me. I didn't see it. I'm at the playground with my kids because I'm just planning on, I got my whole weekend planned around the Clash.
Right.
We go up to Blowing Rock. I'm at the playground. Kelly texts me, what's wrong? And I'm like, I'm trying to watch it on the NASCAR app. She was nervous. Did you not fire off well? Like, take me through your first practice. So you get on the track.
Yeah. So my brake bias wasn't right to start.
Yeah.
So I was chasing that forward, back, locking front tires up, started locking rears up, and it took me the entire first run to get the balance under braking how I wanted it. And then as the track started rubbing up,
typical new car short track stuff.
Yep. Yeah, because you got some guys run stagger brake pads, some guys, you know, run different masters, so it's all driver feel. So it took a bit I pretty much, not threw away, but I think I ran a 49, a 13:49, which put us 28th or 27th. In the 40s, if you ran a 4.0, you would have been 9th.
Okay. Yeah,
you run a 4.8 and you're 28th.
Yeah.
Right? So we knew it was going to be tight. You knew it was going to be on the, if you're on the short side of the 10th, you'd be in good shape. If you're on the long side of the 10th, you'd probably be out of the show.
Yeah.
So we did a couple things. We tried some sway bar stuff in the second round, killed some braking capability. So we more or less went right back to where we unloaded with the brake bias set the right way. And it was like, get the elbows up, buddy, and try to find me 0.06 of a second, right? Try to hit the entry, try to get a little more shape in entry, try to get a little more rolling speed, try to get a little straighter launch. And we were like 48, a 49, a 48, 49, 50, like four and row. I'm like, dang it. Like, this isn't good enough. And
you're seeing it on your dash.
You can see it on your dash, right? And you're like, oh, that was a good one. Okay. 47. And I knew before I even rolled off that a low 40 was going to be in it.
Like a 43?
Like a 43, like under 45.
Yep.
Like, I knew the 40 was the 10th, and if you're on the top side of the 10th, you'd miss it. If you're on the bottom side of the 10th, you make it.
And the whole time you're like in this car, thinking about that hot dog in the 7th row.
With my shirt off, looking like an idiot. So, I hit a pretty good lap. You know, you're sideways, you're chattering the right rear tire, you're just on the verge of locking the left front tire up, so you're modulating the brake pedal, and we're on a 4.39, and I was like, okay, I feel good about that. Granted, there's got a whole other group to go. Some guys tried running scuffs on, which didn't sound like a good idea unless they only ran limited laps in the first two, because your best lap was going to be between your 11th and 16th. Everybody kind of understood, like, that's where the car got the tires to peak temperature and heat.
So it wasn't like
forego 25 laps of tire degradation and think they would fire off better.
Yeah, I mean, if you...
I mean, there was two championships. What makes me feel good, right? We have struggled considerably going out there the last 2 years. So is an anomaly of a race as it is, in such a weird racetrack, nothing really apply. Vehicle dynamics apply, and you want to make sure your car's good, but we have been so bad out there. We went with some intention to go.
Yeah.
And obviously make the show.
Yeah.
And two of the championship four guys missed the show. One got in on a provisional, right? You guys got in a provisional, and there was a lot of trophies. I mean, the guy that ran second there, Austin Dillon, he was watching from the grandstands.
Dude, Chris Bell is huge news.
Yeah.
And that's – I wonder if they were like, well, we got this provisional to get on. Like, yeah. Blaney's going to make it, right. So we can kind of run scuffs and take a shot at the pole, and if we don't, we'll fall back on it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, boy.
Dude, it is not hard to be dead last.
And there's nothing worse, especially for someone like Chris Bell. Obviously, he's, like, he's probably not too worried about it, but he's missed a show before in a dirt car, and there's nothing worse.
There's nothing worse.
But hearing those motors fire up and drive out there when you're supposed to be in it. There's nothing worse.
I've lived it the last 2 years. And, you know, he's a multiple race winning year guy. Been in championship four the last two or three. And Josh Williams, by the skin of his mullet, almost made that damn show.
Damn, that would have been such a good story. And you know, like, I had a couple guys. Kudos to the Rick Ware guys. Justin Haley.
He gets around there like Speedy Gonzalez.
Dude, that's his best track by far.
Yeah.
And their first time with Rick Ware, getting it in the show solidly. I think he was top 10. And then Noah put it in the show his first time in the 10. And
John Hunter,
which get to him in a little bit. But those guys put in the show, attaboys to them for sure.
Yeah. Because, I mean, hey, it can the ball could bounce either way.
I don't hate it for Chris Bell because they're a strong enough team. But the guys I hate it for, like when I look in house, like Austin and Harrison, you know, they come off of a rough year and you're, you know, looking to fire off, getting the show, especially, and even Austin Dillon, like they came off of a bad year and you watch the show and you watch your teammate,
bro,
damn near win the thing. That's same thing with Chris Bell. You do watch your two teammates win it.
Yeah. Like, well, you watch 54. Your teammate on the pole, dude. That stuff. I don't care if it's the first race of the season and we're going to GoPro Motorplex. If you're in the same car as some other fella and he's on the pole and you're 39th, it does not make you feel
good. I don't
care
if you're racing Joe Ryan's legend cars at the summer shootout.
Dude, it hits you.
It's terrible.
And it carries over for two more weeks. You don't even get a chance to take some revenge for yourself.
The doubt creeps in.
Bro, the self-doubt.
Can I do this? Did I forget how to do this?
Bro. What's it? You've been off for 3 months.
Yeah.
Did I lose it? Am I a little bit rusty? Like, I've lived it, dude. It is a battle. So that's why I was so pumped up when I got in there. It was so chaotic, right? It was such a quick turnaround. Cars are freaking backed into each other and this and that and nosed in and backed in on
when
some
you're in
stride
the infield
road.
There?
No, outside where we pit.
Really? Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, we're in the parking lot of some In-N-Out, some Crystal Burger. We're just like.
I know you love In-N-Out.
Not a fan. In-N-Out stinks.
You love the french fries.
They stink too. There's nothing good about it.
They're freaking cardboard french fries every time. I like it. I'm In-N-Out fan. Maybe twice a year, but I'm In-N-Out.
I've given them legitimate chances. And they let me down every time.
Then get me next time you go by, grab me one.
You know what I do like? It's Chili's because they're going to be in my Daytona 500 car, by God.
My wife loves Chili's more than anybody I've ever met.
Bro, wait till you see.
You better get her like a free fajita coupon.
Wait, I got some gift cards. Wait till you see the commercial that we shot. I'm not even going to give you the cliff notes of it because we'll probably run on the show. We got some good stuff cooking up with those guys. Some Presidente margaritas are going to be flowing. But the booze were flowing as usual because the 11 found his way into victory lane. We've got Denny's post-race interview on piggybacking off of the previous one of his best quotes of all time after Bristol. And then also we've got some run-ins. So let's take a look at DH getting the dub at the Busch Light Clash.
Congratulations. Denny Hamlin is your Clash winner. He has something to say, I think.
You know I beat your favorite driver again, right?
What do you think about that?
I mean, I think it's the last time he's ever going to do it because if you listen to his podcast, he said his dad does not like it, and he's done with it.
Hey, it was a little bit of a stretch because – I mean, easy for me to say. I'm sitting there still finishing up while he's doing his donuts. But I would have left. I think that Denny has had some all-time quotes in the last 12 months. With you can look at my rock here in a couple of years at Pocono, all-time great.
People don't even understand. Boo my rock. No, you say you can boo my rock.
That's all-time. And then all-time. Also the Bristol because it was so, you know, just quick-witted. Love that. That one, hey, play with it. I get it. Appreciate that. And he's trying to wear the black hat.
He's coming off of a lot of momentum personally. You know, hey, look.
Got that Netflix bump, buddy.
You know Denny loves being the main character. He does. We all know that have been in the sport for a long time.
And clearly the main character in Full Throttle.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's got a lot of stuff going for him.
He's got a lot of stuff going for him. He's a great ambassador for the sport.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All I heard about on Twitter, nobody in the grandstands, nobody
yeah,
there.
Free because race, they weren't even there. Supposed to be there.
No, Sherlock.
Yeah.
Like, there's...
We just decided to race this thing 3 hours ago.
Amen.
Like, there. So, perfect example. I was leaving, and the valet fellow who dropped off my car, I'm wearing my Celsius hoodie.
You valeted your car at the Coliseum?
No.
Oh.
At the hotel.
I was going to say... Hey, sir, please valet my car. Thanks.
I'm the parking attendant. What's my number? No, the guy gets out of the car, sees my sweatshirt, and he's like, oh, man, I wish we were racing today. I was planning on going.
Yeah.
So the valet at the hotel was planning on going. So no wonder why the dang, yeah, we were supposed to be racing.
A lot of
maybe
people, yeah.
Heat races. So,
yeah, I love that. I love that. They can't even fill up a free race. Like, bro. We'll get to that
let
later.
Let me just touch on that for 1 second. No, I'm going to touch on it. Because there's such a distinction between NASCAR fans and even NASCAR media. And it was this tale of two tapes, and I saw it firsthand. After I made the show, I'm walking to go get some food because I knew we were turning around quickly. About had a hot dog,
if you will.
No, I said, screw the hot dog. I need some meat and taters. So I'm walking back, going to get some food, and there was the closest port-a-john for a half mile was in the Mexican Series garage. And you'd have thought that Dale Earnhardt resurrected and was walking through the garage. I'm in my Celsius fire suit, and like every head was popped up, Corey, like chanting. And I'm like, do you not know?
The NASCAR Mexico guys?
Yes. Mechanics, drivers, hey, go. And I'm like, what? Like, dude, so freaking happy. People are coming
culture.
Up.
They're very, it seems very up, exciting.
Asking for autographs. Man, we love you. Like, I'm like, do you not know? Like, I'm a mid-pack guy. You're supposed to think that I suck at my job. Those people, you'd have thought I win every race that I run. They were so excited to see me.
Maybe
it was
like
bizarre.
Podcasts, man.
I don't.
Big podcasters down
big,
there.
Maybe. Stacking pesos.
We're gonna have to get it.
So let me touch on that. I'm not done touching on that. So
I'm with you.
We did the track walk. Kelly and I did the track walk. Looks the exact same as it has the last 3 years. We're walking off, and they're like, it was track walk. Mexican Series of cars are coming off. And there's a row of them, right? There's, I don't know, 24 of them, whatever they were.
I didn't know there was that much fluorescent.
I didn't know. They had to, every bit of fluorescent vinyl runover goes down to Mexico Series because they have it on every little aspect of window braces, fluorescent orange or yellow. I love them.
Daniel Suarez with the 99 on the windshield.
The windshield numbers are bigger than the numbers on the door. I got to appreciate that.
The stickers.
Inconvenient, but.
Dangerous and inconvenient.
Sure do love my 99. But. So there's one guy, flat black car, not one sponsor on it. The other cars have sponsors on the roof, on the drive shaft, on the
no
tail,
fluorescent, all flat
on
black.
The spoiler, flat black, bro. Well, fluorescent, everything else. Like,
oh, okay.
Roof rails, valance, and the guy's name is Baca. I didn't even know. Like, he stops, and like people are behind him, like revving the remote, like, well, and he's like, Corey, helmet on, Corey, you're my favorite, you're my favorite, and I'm like, you're my favorite now, buddy. We like dapped it up, and I was like, get after him, Andale. Enrique Baca.
Enrique.
He was in the he was fifth, sixth, seventh, qualified sixth. I think he ran 10th. So he's got his whole crew there when I go to use the bathroom. And like I was like, after that, I was walking, I'm like, how bizarre is like the difference of people that aren't in it, that are like seeing the whole picture, that aren't just jaded and realize how hard it is to get to what I'm doing and doing it at the level that I'm doing it and appreciate it, as opposed to just saying that on your Instagram comments that you suck. Right. And that just seems to be to what your point was about people want to complain about an empty grandstand.
You know
what
I see complaining the most about it? Ex race team guys.
Yeah.
Like that the sports kind of passed them by or that they didn't get the job they want. Like those are the ones that like, oh, this sucks. You know, this is stupid. And then the worst ever is like, and if you make this argument, just go fly a kite. Or how much money they spent. Like, yo, it ain't your money. What are you worried about how much money they spent? Because, like, nobody knows the inner workings of how much money it was or what it cost or what TV deals are. Like, that argument is, like, the number one. It's how I can tell somebody's just pissed off and they don't have an argument. They're just trying to be pissed off. They start talking about how much money something costs. Like, this is okay. I'm mad about it. It costs too much money. It's stupid. Like, that's it. When you've run out of all other things to bitch about, that is the go-to.
Yeah. They gonna make no money off of it.
If you're that guy and you write up that tweet, like, this just costs too much money, it's dumb.
Just don't.
Stop.
Just don't do that.
Delete the tweet, feel some shame, and go on with your life.
Yep. And then turn on TV on Sunday.
To the race. Ty Gibbs half tracks the field, dude.
Dude, two Gibbs cars were really sporty. So, talk about mine, though. We qualified 18th. Super pumped up. All the guys pumped up. Knuckles, okay, let's let this thing go. I knew we weren't going to be tremendous. Our fall off was a bit more than what I wanted. Started 18th, rolled to like 15th, 16th, and just kind of maintained 16th, 18th. We got a lap down. The entire first segment went green.
Yeah, it was 18 minutes, I heard.
Straight.
Straight.
You barely got
a lap down?
No, or? I was hanging on to the lucky dog. And then they lapped somebody. Caution come out with like four to go.
And was it? And Ty, yeah, because Ty was leading.
He was
when Joey rolled him
down
on the top. Joey kind of, fire for Ty.
So it's me and the 42 racing for the lucky dog. Before, like, I didn't want to start the next segment a lap down because then you just get buried. Yeah. Once you get two down, your race is over. So coming to legit, I guess the lap they were going to throw the yellow, they're like, all right, last lap. And I had a little bit of run on the 42 and I just blew it down in there. Like, on the left side, like on the white line, like yeah, pow, pow. He spun out. Got the lucky dog, but then they proceeded to give out like three more lucky dogs before the stage even started again. So it was for nothing.
And you get a lucky dog.
And you get a lucky dog. You're a couple laps down, Noah. You get a lucky dog. So I wrecked him for nothing, and then we weren't good enough to kind of jam it in holes and maintain. So we just maintained 15th to 18th and finished 17th.
John Hunter jammed it right in a hole.
So that's when you were back there, you had the choice every restart to just be that guy. And
it didn't look terrible to me because he got another row. He jumped another row doing what he did. It's like he just created another lane that was
you
lower than everybody else.
Yeah, you could have. It was there, but everybody's kind of like, eh, let's not be that guy. And then here's John Hunter. Ah, pow, 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 pow. Get a couple spots. I think he finished 14th, so it kind of paid off for him at the end. But that's burning up a lot of brownie points. Wow. Leading into the one race where you need to have some friends and they push you when it matters.
I mean, Stenhouse under the
pissed him right
break,
off.
He just walked right over and ripped his winter net down.
Yeah, I saw like it was right in front of me. I was like, ooh, Richard's mad.
So you're sitting
I thought
in your car?
He was getting out. I'm like, maybe he's got to go to the bathroom. I was like, no, he's going in here to chew some ass.
Yeah, so when you rip somebody's net down, I think it, like I took it when I saw it first. Like when I saw it first, I was like, man, he is.
All right, here we go. Right so here. He's like, shoot, watch out, guys, with the tire rack here.
I'm like, man, he is going to punch him. If you're taking a net down or choke him, he's got his –
he
said he grabbed him by the helmet?
He grabbed him by the front of the helmet.
Oh, yeah. That's a power move.
Yeah, he's gonna learn him something, I guess. Maybe he's thinking rookie coming in. He wants to make sure he doesn't get run around like that. John Hunter is a very good race car driver, aware of stuff. He's aggressive, right? But he's coming in first race with that team. He's trying to – I don't know, get some spots.
We got two questions.
And Richard wasn't having it.
I've got two very important questions.
What you got?
First one's this. Does Ricky Stenhouse do that to John Hunter because he's a rookie or new? He doesn't do it to Kyle Larson or somebody else if they make the same move. It's like, hey,
Yeah. Don't. We're not going to start this
now. We ain't
now.
Doing that. Second question. If your road crew guys stand there and let you get your helmet shook back and forth, are you chewing their ass?
Yeah.
Because, like, right there, like, if I'm a road crew guy, you ain't getting in my driver's window.
No. No. I would have a couple fellas come in and choke slam whoever would.
Like, yo, don't touch my, like, dude, so, that, to
well,
me.
Well, rewind to Pocono when Ryan Preece went off the deep end and was just slapping my helmet around. Like, Sparks bowed him right up. Like, stood him up, ripped him off the car. I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't think, like, I'm not going to the car as a picker guy ever, but if I'm standing there as, like, a car chief or something, you ain't getting in my driver.
No, well, especially if you want to go there and have, like, words, if his hand goes, grabs a helmet, grabs a fire suit, all right, bro, yeah, that's enough.
Enough. Or at least get, like, look, if you two...
At least kick him in the nuts.
If you two want to fight and then go back to the bus and talk about it, that's fine. Fight on pit road, but you're not going
to
fight.
Not right
here.
We got 75 to go.
You're not going
to
fight my guy in the car. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I think it'd be great if they both got out and fought in the middle of the infield. That's fine by
yes.
me. Don't do it with him in the car. Like, yes. you're going to hold on.
Yeah.
If you want to get him out, you're not going in my car to
Hang
punch
on,
my
please.
Driver.
Let me get out. Okay, thank you. Now let's commence.
I've died.
Sock
him,
boppers.
I did that one time in a street stock race. Some guy was yelling at me. Wait a minute. Let me get out of this car. Who are you? He got even more amazed from Long Island. Who am I? You know who I am. Like, no, I don't. So
should have had some sock and boppers.
I've been trying to talk about this for 5 freaking minutes. Ty Gibbs, hauling ass.
Yep.
Drives through the field.
In the lead. In control of the race. Green, white, checkered restart.
So, no, let's just get before then. Joey rolls him on the top.
On a restart.
Keeps
him pinned down.
Which was a great restart. Joey's, you know, you're in the preferred lane when you're on the top, when you're launching, rolls him. Then
puts it in the bank.
Ty gets beat again on it. Like, you can see he's young. It's going to be his first cup win. It's a big event. You can tell that, like, the senses are getting heightened. Like,
yeah.
The pay window opens.
Yeah.
He's starting to see the gold medal, yeah. right? So he's starting to make some mistakes. So then he gets beat on another restart. He's coming down to this one that we're about to watch that really made Joey mad. So he doesn't want to get rolled again. We can roll tape.
Gets back to the lead. Here you go. 54's control car.
Five, now the screen white checkered?
I think there's 4 to go.
4, okay.
Go. Equal yeah, launch. Line,
Joey was back a little bit.
Still there. Still inside. Three top.
So the 54 ran to the second lane. Didn't give Joey a chance to make good. The corner. Inside, just
Bubba, quarter, the 54 Bubba, tried to blame it on the 12.
Was the 12 on his bike?
No, behind. One above it. 9 to go.
9 to go. Okay. So it's 10.
Okay, so this is...
And then this is
when Ty ends up losing the lead to the 11 because he ran Joey so high. That was kind of
the
move.
Yeah, the 11 plugged
it. Like the 11, you could plug the hole there.
Yeah, I saw the 8 car do it earlier in the race.
Yeah, so... Because you get so worried about the guy on the outside that
and
you kind of take care
third.
Of and then you get shortcut.
Yeah.
I think the reason Joey's... There's a couple things with Joey here.
This isn't the first time offense.
Joey was very mad at Ty last year.
Yeah.
From my understanding, Ty, they actually, after that Martinsville fiasco, Ty...
Broke bread together.
They came over. They had a kind of a meeting. And Ty was very receptive and seemed to kind of come to agreement on how they were going to race. And then Joey probably thought, like, hey, we're going to race all right here. And then he lost 5 spots on that. Now, the pay window's open, like I said. And like we just talked about with Stenhouse and John Hunter. If it's not a young kid, not a rookie,
yeah.
and it's Kyle Busch, okay, you know,
yeah,
whatever. But they had just had the talk, sounds like, and then when Joey went over to talk to him, I guess Ty said something like, I've been watching you do it for years.
Well, yeah, keep watching.
But, like, they just talked about it, so his tune changed quite a bit from what I understand.
Like I had a little bit of a point of view for that. So as we're all driving back through the garage, right, it's dark. There's no lights. Except for the lights that are shining from the top of the haulers down to the tailgates, right? So I see Joey, and the pace that I'm chugging through the garage is fast as Joey's walking. Like, oh, Joey's on a mission. And I went to look, like, and I got my helmet off, Hans off, and
dude,
I'm rubbernecking.
There's nobody that you can tell. Joey Logano has the most distinctive mad
walk.
Yeah, he's got pissed off walk,
like,
for sure.
Super, super stiff.
Hands are really moving fast.
Yeah. And I look back, I'm like, oh, Joey's trailer's back there. I'm like, where is he going? He's either got to take a large number 2 or he's pissed off at somebody. And I'm like, yeah, he's pissed off at somebody. So I'm like now following Joey, like, rup, rup, rup. And Ty kind of like mentioned to Joey, like, come in the trailer, let's talk. And Joey's like, no, we're doing it right here. And they jaw back and forth. Can't really tell what's going on. Austin Payton right there for backup for Ty if he needs it.
Austin Payton's been in a lot of fights with Joey through the Denny Hamlin years and now this. So that motor running in the background is you.
That motor chugging by is me, and I'm rubbernecking like I just watched, witnessed a fender bender, bro.
You got everybody lined up behind
you. There's six or seven cars, pit boxes behind me. Guys are like, go!
Trying to beat the rain.
Yeah, and I'm like no, looking over, like, hang on, I want to make sure nobody's throwing hands.
Oh,
so
goodness.
Yeah, that motor in the background was mine. So a lot of beef rolling down to Florida. We've got the 42 to 47.
Yep.
Got the 42 in about half the field from about 12th car on back.
Everybody's mad at him.
The 34, too, was smashing into everybody. He was Ricky in the 34 were jawing after the race. Not
so
really
Ricky
jawing.
Was mad at a lot of people, too.
Yeah, he's just mad.
Which McDowell flipped that switch.
Yeah.
Consistently. He'll flip that switch and get mad and start smashing people.
He flipped the switch.
The one two and hands the one in the 45.
That one was a little bit of a race and move. Now, the 45 got stuck middle three wide. And then the one was checking up for the yellow, and then he just plugged it right in there.
Well, it's like the one car, like Brandon, the one car spotter probably called yellow a little bit quicker than the 45s did, because like the 45 drove it in to fill the hole right when the one car lifted, and they kind of just like met in the middle.
And that bit us two or three times where somebody started spinning out, and the only way I could go was to the right, and then it was stopped. So then everybody you just passed on the restart. You'd pass two or three, and you'd give them all back. I did that like four or five times until there was like 10 to go, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I can't, like.
The rule is aim right for them.
You aim right for them, but then they're stopped. So then you have to stop, and then you get all the point, give all your spots away.
No, that's.
Dude. We got up to like 12th, and then the one got spun out, and he backed into us. It was just a mess.
What was great on the broadcast for me, so talking back to.
How was Harvick on the broadcast?
He was good.
Yeah.
He did talk about them splitting pads like quite a bit. I see the right front rotors locked up, splitting pads, or was a lot of guys were glowing right front. But
is that we're talking about real quick, just to say what splitting pads mean?
He talked about it enough on the broadcast that if you're listening to this, you probably watched the race and now you know.
Yeah.
Which was good. It's good information. But
probably 50% are splitting pads.
Speaking about that, when the pay window came fully open, the 11 car got the lead in front of the 54, and he just started smoking his left front in the corner.
Yeah.
And he said, like, that's worth speed. And At that point in the race, he was willing to flat spot his tire. So he just started smoking in the corner. Well, the great thing about the broadcast and why I love being able to watch at least one race here when I don't have to go was they go right to his radio, Tony Hirschman. It's like, back up your entry. You'll get him. You got better drive. He's talking him through it. And one moment of weakness, he sees, like, he gets a little bit of a run, and he sees a little bit of blood in the water, and he smoked it back into the corner, and then, like, really missed it. The 54 did. And
when he was behind the 11.
Yeah, he really missed it. Then he lost a couple spots.
Mm.
And that was just that, you know, little rambunctious second year in Cup Series, going to get a win.
That's the two different sides of the spectrum, right? You got Joey winning. Or Denny winning 50, plus several exhibition races, right?
Yes.
And Ty, who's won a ton of Xfinity races but hasn't got a checker flag in the Cup Series yet, trying to go get it.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it was just so interesting to watch. Like, is the kid going to be able to pull it off? Is he going to step on it? And you're like, well, you got to lose a couple of them before you can win some, it seems like, and that one's going
to
burn.
He had the car to lose it. He had the car to win it, and he lost it. So I'm sure he's going to go back to the tape and figure out what sort of instances he could have done a little different. But he's rolling down to Florida with a couple enemies.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, guys, it is time for some pit road boats and woes. We did our exhibition hot dog break, if you will, but now we're going to a hot pit road down there at Daytona Beach. You guys are geared up, ready to rock. How's that 12 team looking?
We're looking good. We keep all our same guys. All in the same position.
All
so, five. Yep. Yeah. Went through the regular kind of postseason rehabs and different workouts. We've all been working pretty hard in the gym. We got a new trainer, Nate, you know.
Nate
the Great. He's crushing it. So between him and Pam, they've been getting a lot of off-season work, especially this January. Everybody's been sore. Speaking of new guys, the only new guy that we really have on our team is Fido.
Yeah,
and
spotter.
We do a team workout where, like, the whole road crew and everybody comes back. So we had, like, a preseason team meeting. What are our goals? Who are we? All that. And then we went, did pit practice together as a team, and then went and worked out. And
Fido worked out.
They put us through one, and Fido was like, he sent a text that night, my legs have quit working. But super excited to have Fido.
Dude, Fido raced out of the shop with Dad.
Dude, he's a stud.
In 98.
Oh, he had some great stories. He had some great ones even in the gym. We're talking about who have you had to get in a fight with? What do you know? And he had some really good stories, and we're talking about him racing with your dad. And he actually talked about racing here. So I think he'll be good for the team. We'll miss Josh. Obviously Josh is really good. We all grew together. But Josh moving on, he's with you now?
No, he's with our teammate. Spot.
He's with you. Yeah, he's a teammate. We're excited to have Fido.
Trackhouse employee. Not sure how that works. There was some fellow there, truck driver from Trackhouse. We were walking, he's like, after qualifying, yeah, congrats, man. Only one out of our three won, or one of our three made it. I was like, what are you talking about? Yeah, only one out of three. I'm like, you got two. Zane's at our place. Possession's 9/10 of the law. He's ours.
Yeah. How was that working with them the first time?
We haven't even done our post-race debrief yet. So yeah. That's when you start to understand how people see the race.
Did you learn anything from them, from their practice?
You had you just had no time to talk. I mean, maybe the crew chiefs were sitting next to each other to talk about, compare some air pressure data, but you legitimately had no time.
Yeah.
I mean, you were going, changing 5-6 minutes, and you'd line back up and roll back in. It was great.
I feel like this offseason has been like the most amount of like continuity throughout the sport. Like, I don't think there's been a lot. There hasn't been a lot of big mix-ups in crew chiefs.
No.
Obviously, you got
the only big one was Swiderski going to the 99. Yes. It was essentially a crew chief swap between the 31 and the 99.
Yeah.
Both of those guys are pretty good. T-Mac almost got Josh Williams in the show.
Yep. But then you go to picker guys, and there was kind of like the most.
So I got to ask you this. So when we went to pit practice last week, drove the pit crew car a couple times just to get used to rolling in the box. They were having a competition of sorts for a rear changer. There's three guys.
Yeah.
Like, one would do a stop, same front, same carrier, same jack man, same front changer. Four or five stops in a row, three different guys.
Yeah.
How often does that happen?
It happens quite a bit, especially on cars like yours.
Now, are they looking for, what do they look for? Do they look for consistency? Do they look for speed? Depends.
They usually have a guy in mind that they want to use. And then all off season, you kind of watch and you break stuff down and you say, oh, this is working, this isn't working. And then a big test is like, okay, hey, the driver and the crew chief for this car are coming tomorrow. And that, you would be surprised, but that changes a lot. That changes.
Pressure.
It's pressure builds diamonds, they say. But, you know, it's not a lot, but it's not like, we don't think of it as a lot of pressure, but it is. You know, they say, oh, I don't want to look dumb in front of the driver. Oh,
yeah.
This is how it's going to be. The car might come in different, right? Yeah. And you get to see that little bit of pressure, like who handles it better in the parking lot.
Mm.
Because what shows up in practice is going to show up in the race. So they have obviously, if it's this late in the season and they're still training them guys, it's got to be a tight race. I'm sure they have somebody in mind, but they got to give everybody a fresh look. So was there anybody that stood out to you that was better?
So our group, if it remains intact, was super good last year. I mean, they were top 10.
They were one of the best.
They were top 10, sometimes top the fastest 4 or 5 weeks out of the year.
By far the best farm team. Like,
yeah.
The best non-house car, that team that's bought from.
So that's probably worth touching on briefly just to explain. We've touched on it, but for all the new listeners, whether you're on YouTube, whether you're on SiriusXM, depth charts, right? So Spire Motorsports, we get our engines and our pit crews from Hendrick. Hendrick likes additional pit crews because it's just supplemental depth.
It's depth for them.
So they have their four house cars, and then they've got three more teams, the 7, the 77, and then what would be on Live Fast car, or a third team that runs part-time. So the really green guys are getting reps on that car.
Which we saw this when the 2311 guys broke off because they were using Gibbs. They got their own pit crews, and then one thing to touch on before we leave the Hendrick boat. new pit crew coach for them. So yeah. John Carvin, who was with them, I don't know how long he's with them, but it's important to touch on because the Hendrick pit crews are by far the best last year. So I wonder what happened in house there where they get rid of their head pit coach because they won the race. I mean, there's not much more you can ask for at a Hendrick pit crews. 24 was probably the best all year long. All four of them were solid. They were the only team, only organization with enough depth where even their farm team,
we're really good.
Talking about you, was top 10 almost every week. So don't understand what happened there, but worth noting that new pit crew coach for them.
It's a big change.
Big change.
He was already in the organization, just got bumped up.
Yep.
To the head coach role. So familiar face. Did I? I haven't said the story about. So, freaking. So Sparks texts me about a month ago. He texts me, "Hey man, Flynn asked if you'd want to work out."
Oh, you talked about it last night.
Did I?
Yeah, last week when you had to go.
Oh my god! 19 degrees and raining.
Yeah. Yes.
I happened to choose the one workout of the week where they are outside on the turf.
You got amnesia, man.
Yeah. All that carbon monoxide I'm breathing.
They're looking like, but then the really notable thing to talk about is, so 2311 did that last year, and Legacy Moto Club. They were using Gibbs pit crews last year, and they broke off, and they started their own pit crew department this year.
Legacy Moto Club.
Chris Hall, who was a longtime Gibbs employee, he was one of the coaches over there. He's heading it up, and you look at, they kind of took the same approach. They have a couple less veterans, but they're all pretty much veteran guys that they're trying to build the program around. One of the staples to that's going to be Joe Crossan, who's a tire carrier Gibbs for the last 10 years. He's a dog. He's been on pit road for damn near, he's been on pit road longer than I have. This is my 18th season. He was at Roush to start, and now he was at Gibbs for a long time. Tire carrier, he'll be at Legacy Moto Club. Josh Leslie, a champion of the sport, he was also at Gibbs, and he was on the 34 car last year. But he was
so let's just say Legacy Moto Club, when they're setting up their pit crew department, you can't just hire 5 and 5, right? Five for one car, five for
you
one.
You can,
and until just be somebody like, please, gets sick God, or gets get hurt,
or yeah, it, I'm sure they Could have they, still an agreement with Gibbs that they can borrow people.
Reserve.
I don't know if they have an agreement with Gibbs or 2311, but they're both. So Legacy Moto Club is practicing at the Pit School, which is a great facility in Mooresville. But yeah, you look at, they got to have some depth. I know who their starters are. When I look at guys like John Roselli, Rosa, he was at Stuart Haas. Scott Riddle was at Hendrick on the 48. He's over there. He was on your car for a little bit, Riddle.
Yeah.
Brian Backus, he was at 2311. Then he was at RCR on the 8 last year for a little bit. He lands a spot over there. And then Justin Reisman, a guy who I started with years ago, he's a gas man. He was on the 21, and he was at Petty's for a long time, left, came over the 21, and then went back to what is now Legacy Moto Club.
Legacy Moto Club.
Big feet in front of them. Man, that's a hard thing to start your own pit department.
What's all that entail?
A just car? Personnel,
and
obviously.
A wall?
Yeah,
and
car
guns?
And wall. Some nitrogen bottles. No big deal.
How hard is it?
But it's
and a whiteboard
building a culture.
Stopwatch.
Building a culture is the toughest thing. And now
can't buy it.
And now you kind of got the people that you brought to the dance, right?
Yeah.
You got your date that you brought to the dance instead of just going with all the boys and Gibbs. If Gibbs messed up, you just call down there and say, "Hey, my guys suck. I need new ones."
Yeah.
Right. That's not how it goes. Now you got that. Those are your people. You got to take care of them. You got to get them to the track every week. You got to make sure they're prepared. Where you were just paying Gibbs a fee. And their guys better be ready, right? So, yeah, it's a big task, and we'll see how the Legacy Moto Club does.
So we've talked about the progression of the pit stop, right? The one nut stuff. A lot of guys switching from right hand to left, just because you're talking about hundredths, right? It used to be difference between a 11 flat and 11.8 might be one or two spots. Now it's a difference in 10. Now where you're talking sub-8s or sub-9s.
Yeah, you're going, I mean, you could do a 9.5 one stop and gain 4. You could do a 9.5 the next stop and lose 4.
Right. So how much more? There's always some refinements you can make, right? There's footwork variations. There's jackman techniques of ripping the jack and doing around your back like some guys that Hendrick does.
No, there's only one. That's your guy.
Ludwig. There's four or five doing it now.
They're catching up now, yeah. But
It looks good. I mean, Jeff Hamill would be happy about that. The old
Junior Johnson, loving
slinging
it.
Slinging the jack around the car.
Thank God there's not officials on pit road anymore. They would not be safe.
He would be taking them down. It looks pretty cool. We'll probably roll a table in the next couple weeks. But how much more room is there to go?
Not much.
Yeah.
It's not much. The risk and the reward have kind of leveled out, and now the reward, the risk is...
What is the lowest bar set in terms of speed?
I know you some can guys dart fish say and seven, this and this. Say you can get in the sevens if you hit it perfect, but I think that...
Does that come from jack peg to rip?
That's like, if the iRobots are pitting your car.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what that
like
is.
Like the guys from Cars, like those little mini forklifts?
Yeah, like... And there's no wind blowing, and there's no brake dust, and they're torqued at lowest possible value they can possibly torque at, and the engagement's perfect on the gun. Like,
how do they
a
measure
lot of stuff.
So I know there's a lot of variance in that, but when the car comes in, this
it
is very elementary.
Back.
So it comes in on the brake, and then so it's on the nose weight, and then when it sits down,
when it rocks back. So I think we even use just the time from the accelerometers in the car.
Yeah,
because it rocks back. They get the time starts when the car rocks back. And then the right side, you stop when the car hits the ground. And the left side, the overall stop, is time when the car is dropped, hits the ground on the left side. So the in-car kind of timing system that NASCAR uses is so close on everybody that that's everything we use. Now, it'll get a little messed up if you, like, roll, stop, and roll again.
Mm.
But, yeah, there's not a lot of room for error.
We've even talked around because, you know, the pit crews are now incentivized for either overall time or fast time or where they rank in dartfish. A lot of the times last year, if you're waiting on fuel, it's just a habit for the driver to go on the jack. There was a couple instances where we were waiting on fuel, jack drops, and I'm like, okay, go green flag, rabbit. So
the 11 car is the one that I really talk about on that a lot.
Now we're setting it down because when you rip it, That stops it,
and that's where
the pit
that's
stop.
Yep, and that's where your rankings cares come about. From. That's where your rankings.
So
come
if you
from.
Leave the car up on the jack because you need an extra 5 gallons of fuel, you're hurting your pit crew on their dartfish numbers.
Here's my question. What's all the time. Question? Are we here to win a race? Or are we here to win the race off
measure
pit road? Right? What are we here to win?
Both.
Because sometimes winning the race doesn't mean winning a race off pit road.
Yes, it does.
Hey. We're going to win everything.
Yep.
You're going to get burnt out. When you don't win, it's going to be bad.
That's true.
But yeah, there's a lot of games to be played there, and we'll see them starting next week.
Mm.
Let's face it. People have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm just excited. I'm excited for the year. I'm excited for the studio. We keep adding little nuggets to it, to the backdrop. Hope you guys like it. Got a lot, put a lot of hard work into this thing the last couple weeks. And this is its home for a little while. So we're going to have some people start calling. We got SVG coming on a couple times. Excited to talk to him and his ventures. But as you know, every week, there are multiple penny stackers this week, but there is a literal penny stacker, because when we came in here, it was just a two-bay garage, really just the crap collector of the joy of seating. Files to the ceiling, more mouse droppings on the floor than what you can even put in the trash can. We made 6 or 7 trips with pallet jacks and forklifts and this and that to try to get this thing up, and we epoxied the floor. Shout out Best in Show Garage for hooking us up. And I had the idea for a while. You ever go to like a bar, see like penny bar tops?
Yeah.
Penny floors in like a little small bathroom or something. I wanted to do some sort of penny floors. Had my buddy Kevin Wilson over at Spire print me out a Stack and Penny's logo, and I stuck it right to the floor, the bare concrete, and we stacked 6,500 pennies on that logo. And it took legitimately 5 hours. Me, Kelly, and Tyson, who works here.
$65 worth of pennies.
$65 worth of pennies. And it was a long time and a lot more work than I anticipated. And if I probably knew how long it took, I probably wouldn't have done it. But it's turned out sweet. So Kelly said that if she wasn't Penny Stacker of the Week, she'd be very mad. So I'm going to make her happy, make her the Penny Stacker of the Week. And also Tyson. Shout out Tyson. A lot of pennies were stacked this week, literally. And several pennies were stacked at the Clash because we made the show, ladies and gentlemen. And we didn't have to take that picture in the seventh row eating a hot dog.
Does it pay better to make the show?
I don't know. Actually, I got to go read the fine print in my contract.
Damn.
I can assure you it pays a lot better, whether in just moral value, than not making the show. Because that absolutely sucked the last 2 years. So I'm on riding a little bit of a high. Riding a little bit of high going down to Florida. We're actually leaving this Saturday, going to Disney.
Yeah, I'm going to miss you by like 2 days.
I know.
Sean's going.
I'm going on Monday. You're going on Wednesday. I think Sean's going on Tuesday.
Big debate in my household which park to go to, because we're only going Wednesday.
We're going to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, we were going to do Magic Kingdom.
That's how I celebrate making the Clash. We're going to Disneyland.
We're going to see Mickey Mouse.
That's how excited
I am. Don't you know who I am? I made the Clash.
We got to celebrate. I ran 17.
I got the lucky dog.
One more penny stagger. I don't know the fellow's name, but he sent me a box. And it had this shirt in it. It says, finish the race. Hebrews 12:1.
12 car.
It's sick. It's got, I don't know.
Oh, it's the fruits of the spirit.
Fruits of the spirit, man. Patience, peace, kindness, joy, faith, and reading upside down. And Hebrews 1, 12:1.
Faithfulness, self-control, goodness. My kid tells me that all the time. Love that. That's awesome.
Sponsored by Fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23. Love it. I feel like I'm supposed to be working at race service in this thing. It's like three sizes too long. It's
baggy.
Let me read Hebrews 12:1 real quick. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, let us throw up everything that hinders and the sin so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's freaking go. We're running the race this year, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, whoever sent that to Corey, I'm a medium in that style shirt. You could send one over to Nonsense Garage.
Send it on down to Nonsense Garage. We're going to be doing a bunch of cool content right out of here as well.
I think it's time for Penny for Your Thoughts.
Is it?
You ready?
I got some thoughts.
I got some questions.
Let's fire away. It's literally spelled ringy ring.
Ringy ring. Sorry, Derek.
That's time for a shot.
Hey, that one's on us, man.
It rings, though.
What track do you think you have your best shot to get your first win at?
Let me tell you this. Everybody on February 7th or whatever date this drops thinks they can win the Daytona 500, and I'm no different. Everybody goes down the floor. You roll through the garage. You roll through the – it's just something special about rolling through the tunnel in between 3 and 4, the old – tunnel that looks like you're in a little storm drain, and you come out and the palm branches are blowing in the wind, flat American flags whipping down the backstretch, and you go in there and you know for certain this is your year.
Every time you go through that tunnel, do you hear the Days of Thunder song?
Da-na-na. Oh, dude, for sure.
Every time I hear it
I get goosebumps just thinking about it right now. So
you should get goosebumps right now, about it. They're probably not gonna let you in the driver runner lot with that hard card.
BS. They're gonna bring me right to the park me in the front garage with this thing. So
Atlanta.
I'm gonna go to Daytona 500 with every intention of putting our car in position to win.
Nice.
And then if it doesn't work out that week, you know what, I'm gonna pick up my pride and we're gonna truck it down to Atlanta and we're gonna give her hell of that again. And then if it doesn't work out, then we'll go to Phoenix.
So the answer is Daytona.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And if not Daytona,
Atlanta. Realistically, I think we can be in contention to win a race. I think the knowledge that we have as a team with more depth in engineering, with some different ideas in there with Luke Lambert and Steve Dorn and the other two cars, I think we will be able to bring some more consistent pace. You know, we qualified in the top 10 a couple times, just missed it a couple other times. But if we can start bringing top 15 pace every week, every other week, that's just when you start running 10th. That's when you start running 7th. Yeah. That's when you can run 6th.
Yeah.
Right?
Then you break into the top 5.
And you start racing around the guys that race in the top 10 and they get used to seeing that, and they don't race you that hard on restarts, and they get you a hole on at Martinsville if you need it, and they don't knock you out of the way, like all
that stuff.
They don't
rip your window net down when you put them three wide.
Right. Like, they look at it like, okay, well, Corey's here. But now when they see the seven, they're like, what's this sumbitch doing up here? He must be on different tires. So once everybody in the top 10 starts getting used to seeing the seven, we'll be one step closer to getting a dub.
And so I think Derek Ringering, holler at your boy at Atlanta.
Holler at your boy at Atlanta.
Or Daytona.
Or you can watch it on Fox.
If you win Daytona 500, it's going to be a rough night.
I might not even make it to Atlanta. I'll see y'all boys first race of the playoffs.
I reckon we'll head on down to Rockingham.
Probably stop at Rockingham on the way back, burn that down. Just a trail of plume of smoke.
Next one. Love My E36 asks, best food to try at the racetrack concessions and which track has the best eats?
I feel like the low-hanging fruit's here, Martinsville, but I'm not going to go there. I also have a theory.
I've never eaten one.
You're missing out, bro.
I'm not doing it.
But I got a theory about Martinsville hot dogs. You can't eat a Martinsville hot dog outside of a quarter-mile radius of the racetrack.
I don't eat them inside of a quarter-mile, half-mile racetrack.
But you should, because they're delicious inside the vicinity of the racetrack. If you take them on the way home, not so good.
Listen, I've got a Martinsville clock to put in my office. I just got it.
Yeah.
Without eating one hot dog, and it ain't changing.
But think about how many hot dogs you'd have with that clock.
I don't like that. I don't like it.
They're delicious. They are.
So here's my thing. I don't like anything on my hot dog.
I'm not taking
that low
hanging fruit. I just do it because it's more pageantry at this point. Okay. You have to. You just can't go to Martinsville. Like, I feel like that's just blasphemy going to Martinsville.
Give me your best
South
Boston food you've ever had.
South Boston's fried bologna sandwich, bro.
Dude.
Oh my God, I'll blow your socks off.
I like the bologna sandwich at Hickory too.
Not the same, it's a ripoff.
Isn't it so crazy how you just think about that one? Last time you raised at South Boston, plus or minus, how many did you eat?
Three.
Yep. It's like you get one, you're like,
Oh my goodness. You're like, yeah, how good this. Oh my goodness, this is delicious.
When I was a little kid.
Grilled onions and some mustard. Woo!
There was a track in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, quarter midget track we used to race at on Wednesday nights. And they had a cheesesteak, a Philly cheesesteak. And it's like, the track's not even there. It was probably 25 years ago. And I remember that taste of that thing. Damn Phoenixville cheesesteak with iced tea.
I don't care where I'm at. If there's not a Martinsville hot dog, or if there's not a South Boston fried bologna sandwich, I'm going to get a cinnamon sugar pretzel and a lemonade. And house in about 200 grams of sugar. Pull up my race monitor and just watch some NASCAR show in circles.
Yeah.
Every track has a cinnamon sugar normal pretzel that's probably been sitting in there since last Thursday.
Maybe.
And the sugar water with one, like, half a lemon.
So much sugar water.
That's what I want. That is my racetrack food.
I'm with you. They have the Bowman Gray. They have the mini donuts that are cinnamon sugar.
Oh, my God. The fried Oreos there. Powdered sugar on there. Jesus. You leave there as a type 2 diabetic.
Well, that's what gets you
on the verge.
You know what? Nothing gets me more prepared to race than just diabetic shock. Let's go.
Get you fired up.
Yep. Give me 300 grams of sugar in my helmet, and I'll put this thing in the show.
Are you even racing if you haven't ate a basket of fried Oreos for you?
Hey, that's what loosens us up. But what grinds your gears?
What grinds my gears? So we're making these topics something that's outside. Last week, they were kind of related to racing, but this, I didn't have a grind my gears until this morning.
Oh, so you got your gears ground.
I got my gears ground. Levi wakes up, 7 o'clock, 7:15.
Your kids again. This is your kid's story. That's like last week.
Yeah.
They're little gear grinders, they are.
They are gear grinders, bro. God love them, but they grind my gears. So turn on the TV for them. Go brush my teeth, do all the stuff, right? Take a shower. And Levi's like, Dad, I want to watch TV. I'm like, you're watching TV. What are you talking? No, what is this? I said, those are commercials. What? Did not understand what the idea of a commercial was. All he knew is Paw Patrol was not on TV and there was a Glad commercial on.
No.
Losing his mind.
Yep.
Turn it off. Turn on Paw Patrol. So you know what grinds my gears? These kids will never know.
They don't
know the struggle of having to actually watch a TV channel and hope what you liked was coming on next.
The Disney app has changed their lives.
What? Had no idea. He was watching on Hulu because I'm too broke to pay for the premium version of Hulu, so it's got ads.
Yeah. No, but I'm not paying the $5 a month.
No. I'm stacking pennies, bro.
Yeah.
My kid can watch some commercials in between Paw Patrol.
Apparently not.
It grinds my gears that kids will never know. Freaking their show interrupted.
Dude.
By companies trying to sell their products to us.
Yeah.
That really grinds my gears.
My kid yesterday, we went to the mountains. Because, like, you know, kind of like last off weekend, so we go up to the mountains, and we ended up, by chance, at Grandfather Mountain. We went across, like, the sketchy-ass bridge they have, and then we went, like, we got too far, and it's like a hike. And I realized, like, with two little kids, especially a three-year-old that is just like yours, very, very rambunctious, he, like, gets to the edge of the cliff. There's, like, a big drop-off, and I'm like, oh, get back. He's like, no, I got something to do. So he climbs up this rock, and he gets up there, he, like, pushes me back, and he goes right up to the edge, and he goes, Simba, yas, and he started singing the Lion King, Circle of Life, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, kid had a plan.
Yeah.
But the only thing that ground my gears on the weekend and we touched on it, people bitching about the racing, people complaining
about
the racing.
You gotta bitch about
something. And that's just like, man, this is the second major event in one fiscal year that got just poo-pooed on by rain. Mm-hmm. Chicago, that, you know, lost out on a bunch of stuff, and then this, you know, trying to do something really cool for the fans and kind of bring everybody together, bring new eyes to the sport, which we got enough eyes. Dude, NASCAR's cool, man. There's a lot of cool stuff going on, and they're trying to do cooler things, and this is the second cool thing they tried to do that just
didn't work out.
And they, you know,
We lost a lot of viewers
and a lot of people
lost a
lot of time and money. And if you're one of the people on there that's talking about how much money people lost and how dumb it was, you are dumb. So
you ground my gears.
Those people really ground my gears all weekend.
Mm. That's good stuff.
That's it, man. First one in the new studio in the books.
What do you think about it? Honestly.
I love it. I don't like it. I love it. I want some more of it every week.
Give me all of it.
Right here.
We're gonna start adding some more stuff. Some more. I don't know. You tell us. If you're watching on YouTube, give us some tips on what. Need some stuff on the table. Do we need a rug?
Hanging from the
ceiling. What do we need?
Your penny for your thoughts questions.
What?
Penny for your thoughts questions.
We do need some penny for your thoughts questions to make sure. Hey guys, we're not asking for much. We're only asking you to download, share, rate, review this show, wherever you listen to it on your podcast. We're also asking you to just tweet us, X us. Whatever you do nowadays, just tweet at us. Hashtag penny for your thoughts, and we will see those, and we will ask them on our show and hopefully give you guys some stuff.
If you want to see the Nonsense Garage, you can watch the full version on YouTube.
Yep.
That's on NASCAR's YouTube channel every week. Full version of Stacking Pennies drops on Wednesdays.
Okay. Set your calendars, ladies and gentlemen. Wednesdays, you'll be seeing us in Nonsense Garage.
Next week, might have a special guest.
Yes. Excited about that.
From down under.
He's very quick to remember you that he is from New Zealand.
New Zealand. I know. He said it on the show. I knew that. I asked him on the show. I said, does it really chap him behind?
Oh, it really grinds,
his gears. He says, I find it a little bit offensive, mate.
Yeah.
People think I'm from New Zealand.
I got to work on that.
Yeah.
It's not the same. Who'd have thought? I don't know.
Put another shrimp on the Bobby.
We're going to keep the Australian puns to a minimum because I want him to keep coming back on the show. And I also want you guys to keep showing back up and listening to us every week. No matter where you are, whether you listen to it on your favorite podcast platform, places, whether you're listening on SiriusXM, whether you're watching us on YouTube or just these social clips, we appreciate you guys so much. So that's all we got. Tune in next week for another episode of Stacking Pennies. Thanks, guys.